This is Reformation Sunday. This is the celebration of Protestants around the world of the 500th anniversary of the beginning of the Protestant Reformation, when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the cathedral door and lit the match that blew Western Christendom apart. We have today the honor of the presence of a son of that Reformation as it came to England, and that is Master Roger Williams. What cheer, Master Williams?
Oh, what cheer to you, Master Lemons, Mistress?
I'd like to introduce the first pastor of the Baptist Anti-Pedal Baptist Church of Providence to the 37th pastor of the church.
Tis a pleasure, Mom.
Greetings.
Tis a pleasure.
Welcome back.
I wonder, given your strong attachment to the Bible, what you make of the fact that in spite of what the Apostle Paul said about allowing women to have control over men and to teach them, and that women should remain silent in church, that we have a she preacher.
My mentor, Sir Edward Coke, did coin the phrase, if you would, a man's home is his castle. I take this one step more. Each person's soul is their own to determine. We had incident here in Providence Town in 1638, where Joshua Verrin did beat his wife for going to church services. And after that incident, we did censure and disenfranchise Joshua Verrin for beating his wife, for he did interfere with her liberty of conscience. Man and woman, each has their own soul, and their soul has as much right to its own determination as any other. This first incident was charged against us, saying that very same verse, that the man should have dominion over his wife. But we determined here that each soul is its own. That's sufficient reason, I think, that a soul, if it is called upon by God to speak out, as Anne Hutchinson's was up in Boston Town, that each soul should be free to speak what is in its heart and in its soul.
You want to respond to that?
Well, I'm delighted.
Of course.
I felt, how ought I refer to you? As number one? What's the preferred nomenclature here?
Master Williams.
Master Williams?
As you mentioned just before to the children, titles, prophet, and preferment have no place in this. We are all brothers and sisters, are we not?
Indeed.
So call me Master Williams.
And by that token, what would be the way that you would prefer to... We don't typically use, in this day, that title, so how would you be most comfortable referring to me then?
Mistress? Master and mistress? That works for me.
Well, it's a new day.
It is that. Or sister.
Sister and brother works for me as well.
Excellent.
All right.
Let me ask you another question, Master Williams. Look around this place and behold this organ up here. What thinketh thee of this?
I have listened to the voice of angels issue forth from either side of this instrument of man. I have listened to all your voices, God-given, raise up in praise. And how much greater a sound it was than anything that mechanic can create. All of you and the chorus of angels there did praise God in a better voice than that machine can.
But well, speaking of institution and instruments, we at the First Baptist Church in America continue in strong tradition after you helped call this body together. However, you yourself did not remain a part of this congregation for long. How does it sit with you that we continue to, dare I say it, institutionalize you, your name, and what you accomplished here?
Institutions. Human-made organizations. These things have a tendency to corrupt themselves. For once they get started, they like to maintain themselves at all costs, quite often losing sight of their original purpose. This structure surrounding us now is grander than the King's Banquet Hall at Whitehall. This building, well, it's where you live now. This is it. Institutions must always beware, and the members, each and every one of you, are charged to make sure that the purpose of this institution continues without being wrapped up in the maintenance of that institution.
So you would agree, as we talked about with the children, that the church is never the building.
It is never the building. We've never had a structure at all for our first meetings. We did gather outside, and in the winter we would gather in someone's home. And there we would spend the hours talking, preaching, sharing food, as a group, as a community. And we did not prevent any other group from meeting in other houses. That is the purpose of this, this true liberty of conscience. Gather together. You don't need a structure to be a church.
Of course, there weren't very many of you at that time.
This is true. It was a small community. But the structure itself is superficial.
I want to show you something. Here's the money of the country today.
This is money? No silver, no gold? There's a strong man's portrait on it, but Mammon, there's a motto written upon that. In God we trust. Who's God? Is that put out by the government?
Yes.
Why? We did, in Massachusetts Bay, they did wish everyone to take the Freeman's Oath. And I did stand up against that, swearing by God that you would be a good citizen. There are unredeemed souls in every group of people. By forcing one to swear by God that you will be a good person, you're forcing that person to take the Lord's name in vain. Do unredeemed souls get to use this? Are they not breaking a commandment? I have no use for that.
Well, do you have a final word for this gathering?
Brothers and sisters, I spent, as one would with money, I spent my entire life working to make this place a place where each and every one could have a say in their future, where all souls were free to follow their own conscience. I can only spend what I have, and I charge now all of you, if you value these freedoms, do not let them slip through your fingers. Once you have crossed over some foul brook of bondage, do not burn that bridge down in back of you. All of you are charged to make sure that your children and your children's children and generations yet to come may live with the same soul freedom that you enjoy. This is your charge.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Roger Williams and Stan Lindemann.